Good morning, everybody. Good to be back with you all once again. Always thankful for an opportunity to share the word and thankful that your pastor called me and asked me to fill in for him today. Big day for them and their family. My wife Vivian could not be with me today. I'm sorry about that. I like her to be with me, but she had a death in her family and is up in Hampton, Iowa today with them. So that's why I'm here without my better half. I'm happy to be here. I'd like to say it was a beautiful drive, and it was for a while, but then I ran into a detour, and I wonder why the GPS was trying to tell me to turn up toward the interstate today, which I don't usually do. But I ignored the GPS. I thought, I know my way, so I'm going. And boy, did I regret it, because I ended up about, 7, 8, 9 miles of gravel. And I'm ashamed to say that now I'm sort of a city slicker. I was raised on a farm. I never lived on anything but gravel until we went to college. My first car I bought at 14 years of age, and it was black. And sometimes when I drive to school, I thought, oh man, I got dusty all over. Sometimes I'd wash the car in town before I went to school. I was mindful of that. And my dad always wanted to get a farm on the highway. And when I was a freshman in college, they moved to a farm on Highway 25 there, southwest of Creston. So I don't drive on gravel too often. How many of you live on gravel? You have to drive on gravel. Okay, a number of hands. The Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you always, because your car's not shiny, but his face is shining upon you. I'm kind of ashamed to say all that, because I'm spoiled. Anyway, glad to be here. And open your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. The title of our message this morning is Calling the 12. And I just want you to not relax too much, because even though we're going to be talking about how Jesus called his original 12 apostles, these points and principles that we'll be sharing from God's word this morning does apply directly to you and me if we are born again Christians, because the Bible makes it clear that once we are saved and we are born again into the family of God, we are to be disciples. We're to be followers of Christ, and it's not just on Sunday, is it? It's 24/7. And so listen and learn with me as we study this matter of the calling of the 12 and see how that applies to each and every one of us. In Mark chapter 3, I'd like you to follow along as I begin reading verse 13. And he, Jesus, went up on the mountain and called to him those who he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him, and they went into a house. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your precious and powerful word, and help us as we look into it this morning to have our ears open and attentive to what you have to say to us, and that our hearts might be tender and ready to receive the implanted word. I pray that you will do your divine work as you have determined to do so, and we're confident in your word that it never returns void. So we present ourselves and these moments before us to you and look forward to what you will do. For we pray this in the name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. First of all, I want you to notice with me in this text, Mark chapter 3, verse 13, Christ's preparation for calling them. Mark 3:13 begins, and he went up on the mountain. I see in these few words represented Christ's preparation for calling the 12. And his preparation in one word was prayer. Turn back with me to chapter 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. When you look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you notice that he leaned heavily upon prayer. Talking to his heavenly Father, he said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of my Father who has sent me. So we find Jesus praying a lot. Look over quickly to chapter 6 of Mark and verse 46. Mark 6:46. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. This was in preparation of the storm and Jesus going out and walking on the water to demonstrate his power over nature to his disciples. Now go over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, be patient with me. We'll get back to Mark 3 very shortly. But in Luke 6, this is a companion text to Mark's rendition of Jesus calling the 12. But in Luke chapter 6, how does Luke cover this? Luke 6:12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out on the mountain. That's exactly what Mark said. But Luke adds, to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So we're looking at the same event. We're looking how Mark covers it, and we'll go back to Mark chapter 3 now, but I want you to know that Christ's preparation for calling the 12 was prayer. Now, I think you would agree with me that if we're going to do something important, it's important to prepare. You that are teachers, and I kind of work with Jeff here in bringing us here on time and to the right place this morning, and he was good to text me and talk to me ahead of time. And he's a teacher, and there's probably other teachers here today, and there's certainly students here. There's young people that go to school, and you know that when you've been given an assignment or you're told that we're going to have a test on Friday, it's important to prepare. You don't just want to walk in and do something important without preparation. I remember when I was in Bible college, we had a professor who was famous for his teaching and his quizzing and his examinations. And when we would come in to do an important examination or test, he always led in prayer before we took the test. And he would say something like this, "Now, Father, help them to recall the things that they have studied." And I just knew that some students' hearts went, uh-oh, I didn't study very well. And he's praying that the Lord would bring to mind what I've studied. And so they probably didn't do very well if they didn't prepare. And we can't expect God to just bless something we haven't prepared for. But Jesus' preparation for calling the 12 was prayer. And this is something that we need to do ahead of time, and we need to get disciplined and diligent about our preparation. In fact, the word disciple and the word discipline are closely related, aren't they? If we're going to teach the Word of God, for example, we had Sunday school just before this, and our teachers brought us the Word of God, and they do so, and they do so well as they have prepared for the lesson, prepared the Word of God, studying the Word of God. I noticed that Awana is about to start, and I've been around a while, and so I grew up on the old King James Version, and I learned about Awana when I was quite young, and of course, Awana has a theme verse, doesn't it? They emphasize a theme verse, or I think they still probably do. They may not say it in the old King James. I don't know if they do or not. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that implies preparation and being diligent and disciplined in preparation. And prayer is something we need to be doing diligently, voluntarily, willingly, deliberately, even as Jesus did it here, went on a mountain in a particular place to be alone with his Heavenly Father before he called the 12. We can't underestimate the importance of prayer. We just can't, or at least we shouldn't. Prayer is so important that when Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, I exhort you, first of all, that prayers and supplications and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. Prayer is very, very important. In fact, when Saul of Tarsus was saved on the road to Damascus and was blinded by the bright light of meeting Jesus there, he was told to go on into the city of Damascus, and Ananias was called of the Lord, I want you to go see Saul of Tarsus. And when you get there, you're going to find out that he's praying. Now, that had to be a little bit of a comfort to Ananias because he wasn't comfortable going to Saul of Tarsus, the famous Jewish rabbi that was all out against Christianity and against Christ. But he met Christ, the risen Savior. He said, Lord, what you have me to do? Arise, go to Damascus, certain street, and it'll be told there what I want you to do. But prayer was important. That's how he started out as a baby Christian. Prayer. I'm going to challenge you to be involved in prayer any way, any shape, any form, any time that you can. Pray silently. Pray out loud. Pray alone with your Heavenly Father. Pray with the people of the church. It is so important. As a pastor for 38 years, prayer meeting was my favorite service of the church. And of course, it was probably, oftentimes, the least attended service in the church. But it was so important. And God can work through one, He can work through 10, He can work through 30, He can work through 100. The more the merrier when it comes to prayer meeting and prayer. When my first wife, who died in 2020, Jenny, and I moved to Davenport after pastoring three churches, and I was a hospice chaplain over there for 6 years, we looked for a church. We thought we knew the church that we were going to. I kind of set in my mind, this will be the church. And when we went to prayer meeting, maybe I've told you this story, we doubled the attendance of prayer meeting when my wife and I went to prayer meeting. There was one couple alone that went to and ran the prayer service, if you could call it that. But they prayed, and that's important, whether it's one or two or three or four or however many, we need to do it. But we didn't end up staying there. I wanted to be in a church that believed in and practiced, at least a good number of folks desired to pray. Prayer is the preparation for serving the Lord. Is there somebody that you are burdened for to be saved? I hope you have somebody that you're praying for to be saved. D.L. Moody said, before you talk to men about God, talk to God about men. We need to prepare for serving the Lord by prayer. That's what Jesus did. Christ's preparation for calling. The second thing I want you to see is Christ's providence, his providence in calling them. In Mark chapter 3, verse 13, he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. I love Mark's direct, succinct wording here. Jesus went up on the mountain, and then he called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Now, how did this happen? Well, we can turn back in Mark here a little bit. In chapter 1 and verse 13, I think it is. Chapter 1 and verse 13. Well, let's go to 16. Mark 1:16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Wow. Jesus called these men, and they were fishermen. You probably have a few people here that like to fish. I like to fish. And if I'm in the act of fishing, I'd rather not have somebody just say, hey, follow me. Throw down your equipment and follow me. But that's exactly what Jesus did. And immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Verse 119, he'd gone a little farther. He saw James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, who were also in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired servants and went after him. What do we read in our text? He went up on the mountain. We know that he prayed. Then he went out and called to him those he himself wanted. He knew who he wanted, and when he called them, they came. That demonstrates the providence and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How is it that those men dropped everything and followed Jesus? The reason they did that is because Jesus was unlike anybody else they had ever seen or heard or met. Jesus is Lord. That's why they did that. He is God. He is the Son of God. He is God the Son. And someday, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. I like that old chorus, an old chorus now. He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For about 30 straight years almost, we sang that every Sunday morning in the churches that I pastored. I want to be reminded, I want all of us to be reminded that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God. And when he went out, he called these men, 12 of them, the ones that he himself wanted. And when he called them, they came. They came. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, and I trust that you are, and you have an opportunity to become a Christian any time this morning. Well, I guess I can't guarantee that because the Lord could come at any second. But if you're not a Christian, as soon as possible, you got to be saved. You got to become a Christian, and you can become a Christian this very moment in the silent words of your heart, reaching out to the Lord. I encourage you to do that. But if you are a Christian, and presumably most of us are, why are you a Christian? You're a Christian because at some point, Jesus came to you and he called you irresistibly to himself. Just like he did Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Saul hated Christ and Christianity. He was persecuting the church. He was compelling them to blaspheme the name of Jesus. But on the road to Damascus, that bright light shone out of heaven. Saul went down on his face in the dust and raised his glazed eyes heavenward and said, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, and it's hard for you to kick against the goads." Saul of Tarsus came to Jesus Christ because the Lord knew he wanted him. He was a chosen vessel for his service, and Saul of Tarsus became not only a Christian, he became a devoted, dedicated, disciplined disciple and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's providence is seen in calling his disciples. Now, thirdly, what was his purpose? Christ's purpose in calling them. Why did he call them? Mark 3, verse 14. "Then he appointed 12. Why? That they might be with him." There's our first sub-point there on the third point, letter A, to be with him, to be with him. He called them to be with him. He wanted them to be in proximity to himself. He wanted them to be close to him. You know what? The Lord wants you to be close to him. He wants you to be with him. He wants you to follow him, not at a distance, but to follow closely with him. We can't comprehend our God. I am so convinced of that as I try to talk to God and I reach out to God and I walk a lot and I talk to the God who made the heavens and the sun and the moon and the stars, and he spoke and the worlds were framed, and he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And how great is our God? It's just amazing. And yet he wants us to be with him. Isn't that just mind-boggling? The God of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, wants you and I to be with him. And when he made the first man, Adam, and Adam and Eve sinned, and they decided they'd run and hide from God under their conviction, what did God do? He came to them. He said, "Adam, where are you?" God knew where he was. "What have you done?" God knew what they had done. And God has a passion and a love for us, and he wants us to be with him. He desires our fellowship. And when we move away from him, when we are deliberately sinning, and when we are moving farther from him, He has a passion to restore us unto Himself. And He stands at the door and He knocks and He waits for us to open the door and He comes in and He allows us to commune with Him and to be right with Him. Do you love being with Him? Do you love being with the Lord? Are you looking forward to being with Him in reality one of these days? I think about that more as I climb the chronological ladder of age. But to be with Him, the hymn writer said, will crown it all. To see His face before Him fall. To feast within His banquet hall. To be with Him will crown it all. And that's why God calls us, so that we might be with Him. But also, He called them to witness for Him. In verse 14, he appointed 12 that He might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach. God called them to witness for Him, to preach the gospel to souls. That's why Jesus came. If you look back in chapter 1 at verse 38, Mark 1:38, but He said to them, let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. Why did Jesus come? He came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He came to call sinners to repentance. He came to share the good news of the gospel, and He's calling now men who will assist Him in preaching to the lost. People need the Lord, don't they? Our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our relatives, they need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? And we need to witness to them whether they realize they need the Lord or not. But folks, some people are actually searching for truth. And they would respond if we would say something. They would at least show interest. They would read a tract that you give them. They might come to an event or to a service at the church if you would invite them. I was talking to a salesman not too long ago, and we got to know each other a little bit, and he learned that I was a minister and a servant of the Lord, and that though I was retired, I filled pulpits and things like that, and he seemed glad to hear that. And then I learned that he was a Jewish man. And I just said, well, you know, it's wonderful to be able to talk to you. You are a part of God's chosen people. And he admitted that for most of his life, he didn't even think there was anything after this life, or that God or the things of God were really all that important. But he said, I've softened on that. He said, I'm thinking about these things. And so I explained the gospel, and then I gave him a tract, and he said he was glad to have it and that he would read it. And so I'm looking for an excuse or a time now to get back with him and follow up on that. But there are people out there that are actually searching, that are they know that there's something more than what they see out there. People need the Lord. And Christ called the 12. He calls us so that we might be with Him and that we might witness for Him. And then that we might work for him, that we might serve him and serve others. In verse 15, and to have the power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. God, the Lord Jesus called his disciples, and we need to understand this today, that when he saved you, when he saved me, it wasn't just to deliver us from hell. I mean, that's so important and so wonderful. I can't comprehend how wonderful it is because I can't comprehend how bad hell is. I just can't wrap my mind around it. It's very, very unpleasant, but it's true. But he saved us more than so that we could be in heaven and avoid hell. He saved us so that for a while we're still on this earth, we can actually do his work and serve him and serve others. In fact, if we just read Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, we're told, of course, that we are saved by grace through faith alone and in Christ alone, by grace alone. It's none of us. It's not of our works, lest any man should boast. For we are, Ephesians 2:10 goes on to say, his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God not only from the foundation of the world determined to choose those of us to be saved, but he chose what we would do for him after we're saved. He chose the good works that he wanted us to do while we're here on this earth. And that was what he had in mind for his first 12 men that were apostles, to go out and preach the gospel, heal the sick, and cast demons out of folks. And we too are saved to serve him, to be salt and light in this world. And we will be judged one day. We don't have to worry about being judged for our sins and go to hell. But the Bible says we all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body, whether they are good or whether they are vain and useless. So it's important that we serve the Lord in light of the fact that we will be given an account of how we served him and what we did for him. I'm so glad that many of you are faithful believers, and you are praying, and you are seeking to be a witness, and you are seeking to serve others, and you're serving in various ways in the church. Some of you are serving in many ways in the church. And that's so very important, because there are some, at least professing Christians, that are very happy to let everybody else do the service part, do the actual work of the Lord's work in the local church. So there's always something we can do. There's always somebody we can encourage. There's always somebody we can visit that needs a physical touch and encouragement. There's always somebody we can pray for. There's always somebody we can witness to. And I just want to encourage you to be a servant, to be a worker, to labor for the Lord all that you can. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. It really is. You know, it's coming up to harvest time. In fact, when I started out on the way over here this morning, I did a double take because I saw a combine in the field and full wagons or trucks sitting nearby with corn heaped up, not picked in the ear, shelled in a combine. Have you even seen that? I couldn't believe it. This is early September. I wouldn't have been surprised to see them chopping silage. But anyway, I was going to say it's soon to be harvest, but maybe it's already starting. But at harvest time, I have the privilege of going over to Southwest Iowa and helping my brother, who's 16 years younger than me and a full-time farmer, helping him in the harvest time. He has four kids. They are now grown. And so, you know, he's got a huge combine. He's got a couple of semis. He's got a big tractor and grain cart and all that sort of thing. And he can use the help. And so I go over in the fall, usually the month of October, and help him in that. And of course, he always wants to pay me for my time, my effort, my help. And it is worth a lot to him. But I always tell him, I said, Dallas, I would do this for nothing. You know that. Because I enjoy it. It's a treat for me to go out there and help in the harvest. And Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. So you would be an answer to Christ's prayer if you would be involved in the service of the King, if you would be involved in the local church, if you would be involved in prayer, if you would be involved in diligently studying the scriptures so that you could edify one another and you can encourage the pastor and pray for him and serve alongside of him in the great work of the church. There was an evangelist called Sam Jones, and he went across the country. He really preceded Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday is famous for being an evangelist in the early 1900s, and Sam Jones, I think, started out in the late 1800s, and I think he died in 1904, 1906, something like that. But he would go all over the country, and he was a powerful preacher. Many hundreds of people would throng to hear him, and just like they did for Billy Sunday, some towns made a tabernacle for him to speak in. And as I'm talking here this morning, I'm trying to think of the name of the tabernacle that he spoke in Nashville, Tennessee. What do they call the Mother Church of Country Music? Come on. In Nashville, Tennessee, the big... Grand Ole Opry, but there's a name of that old Opry house. Oh, Ryman Auditorium. Thank you so much. I hate that one. I can't think of what I'm supposed to say in an illustration, but the Ryman Auditorium, it started out as a gospel tabernacle for Sam Jones. But one of his converts was Mr. Ryman, who had been a big, rich tycoon who had ships on the river, and they would gamble and a lot of immorality. And Ryman actually came to one of Sam Jones' meetings with the idea of heckling him or opposing him. But the Spirit of God got a hold of him while he was sitting there, and he was converted, soundly converted. And he ended up cleaning up his act and his business, and he wanted to build a nice place for Sam Jones to come back to and preach. And that was the origination of the Ryman Auditorium. It was named after Ryman after he died. But Sam Jones had these meetings, and every once in a while, along with his gospel presentation and his revival, he would have what they call quitting meetings. And he would give a strong message on serving the Lord and sanctification and holiness. And if people were drinking and gambling and carousing and some of these things, the whole idea was, I just want you to follow Christ and come down here and profess your dedication to him. And they shared the things that they were going to quit and testified of what God was leading them to do. Well, one lady came forward, and Sam Jones asked her why she came forward. And she said, well, preacher, I haven't been doing nothing for the Lord, and I'm going to quit that too. A little bit of humor there. I ain't been doing nothing, but I need to quit doing nothing, and I need to start serving the Lord. And maybe some of you are there. You haven't been doing nothing to speak of for the Lord, and you realize God wants me to get with it. God wants me to serve. God wants me to work because he called me to be his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we all can't do the same thing. We're not supposed to. We all, if we're in our 60s, 70s, 80s, we're not going to be able to do and keep up with what we used to do, but we can always do something for Jesus Christ, and we can always for sure pray. And that is so important. I'm just about through, but all of you have been aware, I'm sure, that recently Dolly Parton died. And, you know, there's no question that Dolly Parton did a lot of good things, said a lot of good things. When someone like that passes away, maybe a great athlete or politician or musician or whatever, you know what I find myself saying? Where is Dolly Parton now? Where is she now? Now, I don't know where she is. I hope she's in heaven. I don't have the assurance of that. But if your heart stopped beating today, where would you be? The Bible says that there's two places that we're going to go, either heaven or hell. And it all depends on what we do with Jesus Christ, whether we are willing to surrender to his lordship and be willing to follow him. And I encourage you that you would make sure, if you don't know for sure, that you belong to Jesus Christ. And you can talk to me or someone after the service that you would know would be able to help you with that. And then if you're a Christian, maybe you need to quit doing nothing and really get busy in serving the Lord and following him. And I want to encourage you, if you are really trying to serve the Lord and just do everything you can for him, and some of you are tired, and some of you are thinking, oh my goodness, we're starting all these fall programs, and I'm going to get back into this, and I'm going to be tired. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus Christ. So keep on serving. Keep on praying. Keep on witnessing, because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for reaching out to us, initiating a relationship with us. Thank you for saving me, Lord, so many years ago. And I pray that you would help me to be faithful to the faith, faithful to the fight, faithful to the finish. And I pray, Lord, for these here today, that whatever the need is, that we will just humble ourselves and come to you and believe you, trust you, and serve you with all of our hearts as long as we can until Jesus calls us home. And we thank you for these things. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.